This is Stephen Strang. Before my podcast, I want to give my listeners a special offer of getting 2 years of Charisma Magazine for only $20. This is better than two for one. I hope you want Charisma in your home, where you can read it, where you can share, where you can keep it around the house and sometimes look at an article later. You know, with everything that's happening with digital, we have found that people still want Charisma in print. And I've been sharing this in my last few podcasts, and it's interesting that the subscriptions are coming in, and I hope that you'll take advantage of this offer by going to charismamag.com/2, T-W-O. That means 2 years for the price of one for only $20. And now here's my podcast.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Alzheimer's is a terrible, terrible disease. And as you'll hear in this edition of the Strang Report, I've been able to see it up close and personal. And I'm here today to report on some good things that are happening as a result of this very terrible situation. Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and today my guest is Representative Scott Plakin in the Florida Legislature. I realize my listeners are all over the country, but I'm very proud of my friend Scott, who got elected in 2006, as I recall. Is that right?
2008.
Like I was saying, where's 2 years when you're having fun? But I'll welcome you, Scott. You and I have been friends for many years. We even went to communist USSR at one time, right around the time that communism was ending over there. We've been through a lot of things. And recently, your beautiful wife, Susie, who I've known as long as I've known you, went to heaven. And she had early onset Alzheimer's. And, you know, in a limited way, we walked through that with you. But I was able to see for the first time in my life what a terrible, debilitating disease this is. So kind of tell me what I already know, but tell my listeners what happened with Susie when she was diagnosed. And also, it'll lead up to us talking about what's happening in Tallahassee as a result.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the legislative session right now. And I shared this story with a Senate committee, actually, earlier this week. Susie was diagnosed in 2014, and we saw signs that, you know, memory loss, like the normal things, but nobody would think at age 53 that it could be Alzheimer's. So finally, we took her for testing, and then in 2014, around May, she was diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, which is another form of dementia, which is more aggressive than Alzheimer's. There's different types of dementia. There's Lewy body dementia, Alzheimer's, frontotemporal dementia, and some other variants, but they all affect your brain and your body in various ways. Later that year, we took her to Mayo Clinic, and it was a misdiagnosis. It ended up being regular Alzheimer's. Then we were involved in a car accident in 2016, which accelerated it quite a bit. There's a 7-point scale with Mayo Clinic, and she was a 2, fairly normal life. And then on July 1st, 2016, she went to literally overnight stage 5. And one thing I didn't know, I thought Alzheimer's disease was that disease where you forget stuff and eventually you pass away from it. But I didn't know anything that my wife would be having myoclonic short seizures or grand mal seizures with head injuries, hospital stays with staples in the back of her head and a brain tear from the fall. I didn't know anything about agitation, almost a psychotic-like breaks where sometimes they even get violent. And the last year and a half, she needed, of course, 24/7 care the last couple of years, but the last year and a half, all of her bodily needs I took care of, along with some other help from family members and a caregiver. So I didn't know about sundown syndrome. I had no idea. So she passed away last July. We thought at the beginning of last year she would live maybe 3 to 5 years. And then after session, maybe March, the doctors had become friends, said a year or two, maybe 3. And then on July 13th, she had lost 9 pounds in 3 weeks. I brought her in, told the doctor that, said we need to get her in hospice right away. 10 days later, she was gone. So even while she was here, and then I had asked her early on when she was pretty much fully cognizant, you know, to share our story. Being a public official, you have a platform. So she was all on board for that, although not really understanding what the future is. So in the legislature, it's been an amazing amount of things that have happened for good to advance the cause of Alzheimer's awareness.
Well, let's talk about that because, of course, I saw a lot of this up close and personal. Remember talking about it when you were just wondering what it was, when she was just forgetting things, you know, taking her to Mayo, that whole thing. I remember the car accident, and I saw how quickly she went downhill. And I didn't really know what to expect either.
And you were there, I'll never forget, when she passed away. Every single night you came over to my house to check on me.
Well,
for a week or 10 days, I think it was.
Yeah, and a lot of people did too. And her service was a beautiful service. Maybe even 600 or 700 people there. It was a huge funeral. The elected officials flew in, the governor, the senator, all sent their regards and I think maybe a flag, and things were named in her honor, and the big hospital in town did some things in her honor. In fact, you could articulate it better than I am. She was one of the most beautiful, sweet, loving people I ever knew. Just everybody liked Susie. And she had all those kids, you know, 6 kids. And we got to know your family. Let's see, I knew you slightly before you were married, and then we reconnected when you just had 2. Jameson, the second one, was very, very young. And so I watched your kids grow up, of course. And Susie was just a great mom. I mean, you were just a family we knew and loved. You know, you had no premonition at all that something like this would happen. And, you know, that's how life is. None of us have any promises. We don't know what the future holds. But just everybody who knows you, Scott, says great things about how devoted you were to her. I know up close and personal as your friend how true that is. And now that she's gone, you know, trying to help other people through, you know, the tragedy of her own life, because there's no cure for Alzheimer's. And in fact, do they even know what causes it? Is it genetic or what triggers it?
They really don't know. There's a huge amount of research going on, but we're pretty far from a cure. I believe one day they'll find it, but there's a lot of different drug companies working on it, a lot of clinical testing. But a lot of the things that we're doing in Florida and around the country with research are some of the things around it, like the Ed and Ethel Moore Fund that was set up a few years ago with the Florida legislature. Is $5 million a year, funds about 200 research projects. For example, Sundown Syndrome, there's a group over in Tampa that's studying that and how to...
Why don't you explain exactly what that is?
Alzheimer's patients tend to, around sundown, they get agitated. And they're trying to figure out exactly why. There's some people think it's because they wake up and their brain gets tired later in the day. I've heard that. But what we're doing here in Florida is studying that. And I'm sure there's other studies around the country. So although there's not a cure really in sight, there's a lot of research going into how to deal with the disease. And, you know, we're talking about a lot of the good things happen. And one of the focus with, you know, out of making sense out of Susie's legacy is Romans 8:28, for those that love God, to paraphrase, can turn bad into good. And that's what we're seeing at the Florida Capitol and even around the country. I had the opportunity last year to be the keynote speaker at the National Convention. So me and my kids, it's helped find meaning in the whole thing that, you know, when a loved one passes away, if you see things like this happening, it's easier to understand that if she could see all the good that's happening from, you know.
Well, tell me about some of them. In fact, the things that actually prompted this podcast, where you were telling me on the telephone, some of the things that were happening in Tallahassee this week as a result of what happened to Susie.
Yeah, just yesterday, I passed House Bill 449 in its final committee. It's been through 3 committees already, and Senator Stargell and Senator Gibson, Stargell is a Republican, Gibson is the minority leader, are carrying it over there, and myself and a Republican and Matt Wilhite are carrying it in the House. So it's a bipartisan effort. And basically, the bill started out 5 days after Susie passed away. The governor appointed me to something called the Alzheimer's Disease Advisory Council. There's 10 members, 4 of which have to be caregivers. And it helps advise the legislature. And I'm one of the caregiver appointees by the governor. So it helps advise the governor and the legislature on Alzheimer's issues. So the bill started at its first committee stop, is enhancing that committee, requiring reports and so on and so forth. We added a first responder to the committee to make it 11, because sometimes Alzheimer's patients, law enforcement maybe shows up and they don't know how to deal with it. So yesterday I amended the bill with 2 additional things. One of them is to give, we're going to expand it to 15 members and give the Speaker of the House 2 picks and the Senate President 2 picks. And one of those two picks of each body will have to be a sitting member of that body. So you'll have a House member and a senator. I'm termed out in 2022. So that's a way to extend what started with Matt Hudson before me, who the Edneth Moore program is named after, and then our experience, and that'll help extend to make sure that legislators have input into that. And then we also, 2 years ago, I passed a bill to make the 16th memory disorder clinic in the state of Florida with Florida Hospital, now called Advent Health, here in Orlando. Then last year we got the funding. So yesterday I amended to the bill to create a 17th memory disorder clinic. There's only one in Miami. This is at a Jewish long-term care facility, and it'll serve, there's a big Haitian and African-American population that this facility serves. So Miami, I would say, with two memory disorder clinics with the size, is still probably underserved. There's 540,000 people in our state and 5 million nationwide that are struggling with this disease that is so little understood. So part of my mission has been to just bring awareness. The House members, senators that knew Susie, they thought like me, like it's just something you forget and eventually you pass away. Many people don't know the seriousness of the disease and how all-encompassing it is on the families around them, too.
Well, you're describing exactly what I thought. You know, I'd never been around it. You know, I think maybe I had seen the elder parents of some friends and they had said their parent, you know, had Alzheimer's, but I wasn't around it very much. And the person just seemed kind of out of it, you know, like their memory wasn't too good. But, you know, now to see the fact that you've gone through this, and isn't it interesting when you go through things, you see them from a different perspective, even where you had to take her to the emergency room a time or two and found out that nobody in the hospital knew that she was there for Alzheimer's. You know, people were there for broken arms and bad colds or whatever people go into the emergency room for. Wasn't there some kind of way that you developed to identify Alzheimer's patients so they could maybe be treated with a little bit more appropriate care?
Well, with our local hospitals here, it's brought quite a bit of awareness, and particularly Advent Health in Central Florida. They're looking for ways, and I've been talking about ways of helping to identify the dementia patients, because what you're talking about is they can show up in different parts of the hospital, and the way you have to like deal with them, for example, getting someone to take their medicine, they may just not do it, and you can't force them to do it. You have to coax them to do it. There's a lot of behaviors. They're not complicated. There's a list of behaviors on how to interact with a person with Alzheimer's. So I know they're working on better ways to help educate their staff when they do get, because not everybody comes into a hospital with, you know, an Alzheimer's. They could show up with a broken arm. They could show up in various parts of the hospital. So that's another thing that I think will, going forward, that the hospitals have become more aware of this.
Well, I just want to congratulate you on all you've been able to accomplish and encourage you to keep going and seeing this through. Wasn't there a text message or maybe something on Facebook that you were telling me about that came from the governor?
Yeah, and I think the impetus, a lot of this is our story. Secretary of Elder Affairs Prudhomme, him and I have become friends. That's why I was in the Senate committee this week. He asked if I would come over, and he testified before this Senate committee. Yesterday, he was with the governor. And the governor put out this tweet last night, said, "As long as I'm governor, Floridians living with Alzheimer's can count on my support. I'm proud of the steps we have taken to prioritize research needed for this disease and to ensure these individuals and their families are getting the care they need and deserve." So in my meetings with the secretary, he, seeing our story, and since this is recent, wants to use that to really try to advance Alzheimer's awareness and services. And his meeting with the governor yesterday resulted in that. I talked to my staff this morning. We're trying to arrange a meeting with the governor next week before my bill goes to the floor. If there's any other modifications to do it, it'll be on the floor, I think, 2 weeks from now. So I'm really pleased to see Governor DeSantis now taking the lead on this. Of course, you know, he's the most well-known elected official in the state, and he's now making this a big priority. So, again, I see this extending from, you know, Susie, when I married her, she was working at a bank, and we started having kids and more kids and more kids and more kids. So she was a housewife and raised kids all those years. So to see the legacy that she's having on the state capitol in the third largest state of America, you know, it's pretty amazing to see.
It is really amazing. And I want to close by saying something personal, because you had a big birthday and it had a zero in it. And if they guess 40, 50, 70, or 80, they're wrong. But I won't publicly say your birthday, but we've known each other since, I guess we were both, I'm a couple years ahead of you, but since we were in our early 30s, so that's been a long, long time.
That's right.
So happy birthday to you, and you were up there in Tallahassee on your birthdays, so I didn't get to see you that day, but didn't they sing to you or something on the...
Well, they did, and I chair the Oversight, Transparency, and Public Administration Committee, and interestingly, Representative Escamani, that was the lobbyist for Planned Parenthood. She's on my committee, and we have a cordial working relationship. She makes a motion, Mr. Chairman, point of order. And I recognize her, Representative Escamani, you're recognized. We'd like to sing a song. It's someone's birthday today. And I smile. I said, the committee is recognized for a song. And they sang happy birthday to me in the committee room. And then one of the members came up to present their bill and said, Mr. Chairman, of course he wants to get his bill passed through my committee, happy birthday. You don't look a day over 45. I said, bill passes.
Well, while you were having
and then
that.
On the House floor, they recognized me too, but they said my age on the House floor, like, and that's broadcast all over the place. I wasn't too thrilled about that. But
well, while you're up there in Tallahassee having fun, I was actually in Washington, D.C. speaking at a conference.
Yeah, you said that.
A kind of a political conference, and I used you as a good example. Oh. And it was all I could do to not say something about your birthday, but of course they didn't know you. But you have quite a story.
Well, now you never said the age,
but that's right.
Wherever it's on Facebook, and this will get stored. And
that's right. So you have another story, which maybe we can do another podcast on later. We have written about it before in Charisma and online, and that is that you are a very strong opponent of abortion. And it's because, you know, you've told this story publicly. I've heard you tell it when your parents were in the room, but you were conceived outside of wedlock. And your parents, of course, who were 18 at the time, got married. But there were some family members who urged your mother to have an abortion. Of course, this was long before Roe v. Wade. And thankfully, that didn't happen because, you know, look, all that God has been able to use you and your six kids and now a couple grandkids on the way. And it's just such a powerful story. The point I was making is that we need to get people like you elected because you have been able to do so much for the pro-life movement these years you've been in Tallahassee, you know, even before Susie was diagnosed.
Yeah, well, we've experienced it the whole way through, including when I first started back in 2009 session when they wanted to cut the state's crisis pregnancy program. And I was chairman of the Pro-Life Caucus at the time. We rallied a bunch of members together and were able to, the cut went through and we got Governor Crist to veto the line item. It was a $2 million line item. And since that time, because it was effectively shut down and the veto saved it from Charlie Crist of all people, back when he was a Republican, he actually saved, I'll say this a couple times, Charlie Crist saved the crisis pregnancy program in the state of Florida. You have to process that a little bit knowing where he is now. But we were thankful that he did that. And now we've enhanced funding. I think it was a few years ago, we doubled it to $4 million and may even be higher than that now. So yeah, from the beginning, that's been an issue that I've been very, very passionate about. And each year we've passed new pro-life legislation and I'm really happy to work on it.
Good. Well, there's so much more we could talk about, and I'll have to have you back again. I was just reflecting on the fact that I have very few elected officials on my podcast, so this is a real treat for me.
And well, I know you have listeners of, you know, all over the political spectrum, and, you know, one thing with Alzheimer's, Representative Wilhite and I said, you know, Democrat from Palm Beach County, and then me, Republican from Central Florida, we often close our speeches with this, that Alzheimer's is a bipartisan issue. And if you take red, the color of Republicans, and blue, the color of Democrats, and you mix them together, you get purple, which is the color of Alzheimer's awareness. So we've focused on that theme, and we've had excellent results in doing that, making because it affects everybody. Doesn't care who you are.
Well, that's a good way to close. And I'll just say thank you, Representative Scott Plakin of Seminole County, Florida, for being on the podcast. Thank you for all you do. And thank you to my listeners today for listening to The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com. charismapodcast.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.